Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with St. Paul, Minnesota jazz pianist Larry McDonough. He talked about his 2022 CD called Kind of Bill done on the Palace grounds, marking 40 years since the death of Bill Evans. This quartet of his performed the show during the pandemic to a socially distanced audience on September 2nd, 2022 on the grounds of the Palace Art and Music Gallery in St. Paul, Minnesota. It was on the 40th anniversary of his death, which was on September 15th, 1980. He was only 51. Larry is the only cat out of Minnesota invited to study the Bill Evans Archive at the center of southeastern Louisiana State. We get into this, COVID life, and the future. Enjoy.
Well, Larry, thank you for reaching out to me on the new album. I'm really looking forward to talking to you about it. It's so nice during this pandemic world we live in to see new music and to see activity happening out there.
Cool.
What you're doing in this latest album is you're celebrating 40 years since the death of Bill Evans. Talk to me a little bit about this album and what it means for you to get it put together and put out there for the people.
Yeah, so I've been a Bill Evans fan for a long time. You know, I'm 66, but I was listening to jazz when I was 10, and back in those days, you'd go to the library and you'd check out an album and bring it home. And my folks aren't really into jazz. I was aware of Kind of Blue, and I knew Bill Evans had been on it. And I remember going to the library and seeing this album with him on the cover, and he looked like a button-down accountant. And I was thinking, wow, can that really be that cat? And so I got that album and brought it home, and it was just amazing. When he would come in to town where I lived, he would play. It's still kind of odd to think that someone as great as Bill Evans mostly played small clubs, and he wasn't playing, you know, arenas or anything like that. And so I saw him at several clubs. When I was in high school, I saw him. It was a little easier to go see into a bar underage if you just, you know, promise to behave yourself. And I saw him in high school. I saw him in college. And then last time I saw him, I was a band director and a nightclub musician at night, and he came into town, and that was about maybe 2 years before his death. I spent a lot of time listening to him, and I would say I didn't really play the way out of his style so much when I was a kid, but I really was absorbing it. I was probably more influenced at the moment by, you know, playing more, you know, like Chick Corea or Herbie Hancock. But as I continued to age, I kept finding myself going back to listening to Bill, and I started to hear it more in my own playing, and other people would say that as well. It just was approaching, you know, the 40th anniversary of his death that it seemed like it would be the right time to devote a recording completely to his music rather than just play one tune or another. And this was recorded in the pandemic, so it was an outside concert, and everybody was social distanced, and we were just really doing it as an outside concert, but had the recording equipment there more for just educational purposes. And then when I went back and listened to it, the sound quality was really good. It did not take a lot of mixing and mastering to pull it together. The challenge with doing something like this is you could spend a whole week 24/7 playing the Bill Evans catalog. So the harder part was choosing for the concert, you know, what are we going to do to kind of highlight different aspects of his career? But I think it's a nice little capsule of what he did as a younger man and what he did shortly before his death and a few things in between.
Speaking of the pandemic, you know, over this time, there was a lot of self-reflection, a lot of time to kind of reevaluate your life personally. What did you learn about yourself over this quarantine time that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you, you know, stronger as we re-enter the jazz community and get into more live shows?
Well, a few things. I mean, one, I'm outgoing enough to deal with the outside world, but I'm more on the introverted side. And having more time at home, I think, was actually, for me, gave me energy. I'm sure some people found it kind of claustrophobic, but I didn't. And I think it made the outside interactions maybe a little more special. You know, there were a lot of times in the pandemic where we weren't even rehearsing together, and we did a lot of dabbling with technology that would allow you to rehearse from remote locations. you know, it's decent to a point, but you can't eliminate the lag. I mean, you can get it pretty small. You can get it down to, you know, if everything lines up right with the right software, the right connections, things like that, you can maybe get the lag down to under 10 milliseconds, which is pretty good for ballads. You're not going to play a Charlie Parker tune with 10 millisecond lag. It doesn't work. It was challenging to do that. Ultimately, we decided, well, let's get together in my backyard and rehearse. And so, weather permitting, we did that. And that's when we thought, well, maybe we could still do some outside concerts. So I got more energy from being out in public less. It made me kind of celebrate the outside interactions more and not take them as for granted as I might have earlier.
Get to the good business of where everybody can pick up this new album and see you perform live as the months get warmer and we move on into 2022.
Yeah, so I'm based in the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minneapolis, and Minnesota, and so people here can see us regularly. The club scene, you know, the club scene opened up pretty good in the summer of 2021, and then the numbers got really bad here in the fall, and it kind of closed up again. And it's, you know, our numbers are getting pretty good again, so things are opening up a bit. I'm actually pessimistic about it remaining that way. I think we may see more of the bad numbers in the fall again. So in Minnesota, people can see us regularly. I have a website, larrymcdonoughjazz.homestead.com, where I post gigs. We've also done a number of our shows, video recordings of them, and have those up on YouTube. So there's a Larry McDonough Jazz YouTube channel. Of course, hearing music on, you know, great stations like yours and the different public radio jazz stations around the country. I've got the music up at the kind of the usual kind of streaming services and things, so you can find it at iTunes and, you know, Rhapsody, Deezers, and, you know, Pandora, all that kind of stuff.
Beautiful. Larry, it was great to catch up with you. Thank you for reaching out, for the music. Good luck with everything as we move forward.
Cool. It's really nice to talk to you again.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview. We give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in St. Paul, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Larry for his time, music, and stories. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Thank you. You must believe in spring.
Neon Jazz.